Looked like we had a good turnout for the evangelism class. Yes, sir, Brother Khan?
Pastor, I just want to, it's a testimony. And I just want to say how I thank God for who he is. And you know, the Bible tells us that the greatest tool for a chef is salt. And we use salt for many things, but we use salt for just about everything because it gives us that flavor, gives us some type of ingredients. And that's what Christ wants us to be, as the salt of this world, in the sense that we tell others about Jesus. But the same way the salt loses its taste or its flavor, it's not good for anything. So as I was sharing with my classes tonight, that what I said from Billy Graham is that the one thing that laziness will do, it means the servant Christ, is rob a man of his personal glory, or personal, not glory, not glory that I'm looking for, but it robs him of his spiritual growth. That's what it does. It robs you of your spiritual growth. It has been a good week for us here, or been a good week for me in the Lord. And you know what? I was also sharing with them that if when we got saved, it was a very special event that God blessed us when he saved us from our sin. If we take a moment by ourselves and sit back and think about just what God went through in order to save us from our sin, it should rattle us at the bone. It should give us that desire that we should go forward and serve the Lord Jesus Christ and be obedient to the word of God. So I just thank God that I'm not always obedient, but I try to be, or making preparations to get there. And I just thank God for all that he has taught me. And I've gained so little for so much, but I thank God for who he is and what he is to me.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Thank you, Brother Connie. I appreciate that. And if we're all honest, our rate of return toward God is pretty sorry. Just that simple. What he put into us and invested in us is far more than he gets in return on our behalf back to him. We owe a debt that we couldn't pay. And he paid it for us. It's good to have you tonight. Looking forward to this Friday night. If you hadn't got your ticket for the Valentine banquet to help the youth get to the camp this summer, please go ahead and do so. You said, Pastor, I don't feel like going. It's okay. We'll take your money anyway. And I'll eat your piece of chicken or whatever we're having. And you can sit at home and watch Andy Griffith. It'll be fine. Support the youth so they're around spiritual things. There's enough in this world to grab their attention that they just need people to know that they're behind them. And we have always, as a church, done so. So please, get your ticket and your rose. I didn't even know anything about some roses, Brother Jim. That must be real new because I am on the short end of that stick, Jerry. Manny, y'all are poor salesmen. Who did just now? Y'all just learned tonight? Oh, well, we're bad advertisers. So we're going to have to get on the ball with that. Buy some roses and some strawberries? Chocolate-covered strawberries. Can I buy one for myself? Oh, that sounds good. So please do that. Men, the retreat funds will do. So if you're going to the men's retreat in Georgia, please get those funds in. And if you was on the fence and still lingering, there is a couple of spots for if you want to go. So let me know tonight or tomorrow. Text me and say, yeah, Pastor, I prayed about it. I asked my wife, and she said, get out of the house. if you want to go, let me know, okay? We'd love to have you go. We have a good time, fellowship, just us men from the church. And then we're going to join over 100 other men up there. Brother Phil Stringer's going to be preaching probably 4 or 5 sermons. Yes, you do have to sleep on a World War II Army cot. nothing we can do about that but the floor. But come join us. We'd love to have you if you can. Tonight, we have with us Brother Shane Ballard and his family, his wife Tammy and the family here from Missouri. And they're going to present their mission field to the Western Australians. So, Brother Shane, you come on and give your testimony. What you're going to do first, and just let us know, and we'll get this
going. Well, it's good to be here. And we were planning on coming to church tonight anyway. I just want to thank you all. I want to thank Pastor Stockton and the church. We've been staying back here in your prophet's chamber since Thursday, and I just want to relate to you how big of a blessing that is. That is a tremendous blessing. I know you likely have people that that come through that maybe they're on vacation or something like that, but I'm telling you, when missionaries are traveling through and there's in-between places to stay, that is a great, great blessing. And so we want to thank you so, so very much. It's very nice and comfortable, and again, we're very, very thankful for that. But we are the Mallard family. And let me introduce my family just real quick. He mentioned my wife, Tammy. This coming Thursday, we'll be married 27 years. And then my daughter, Molly, she's holding our newest addition, Raya. We were able to adopt her this past March. And then Emma and Taylor. And so we, as you'll see in the video in a moment, I've been pastoring over in Dexter, Missouri for the last 15 years. And God just put us in a whirlwind, changed our heart, and we're now headed to Western Australia. You know, I didn't share this with Pastor Stockton, but you know, he and his wife, his family, has probably had a great impact on me and my wife and our family now. But I don't know if it was 95, 96, somewhere around that time frame. They were the first missionary family that I remember. I got saved in the end of 94 and was gone into Saudi Arabia for a little while, and then come back to Calvary Baptist Church in Knobnoster. And I think we crossed paths there, and then I know for sure at Berean Baptist in Springfield. But I'll never forget, that was the first missionary family that I saw do a presentation. And I never dreamed that I would be standing up here on this side of it doing a presentation or presenting a field. But I'll never forget that. They was showing, at that time, it was probably slides, if I remember correctly. And all of a sudden, his wife, Miss Stockton, broke out and began to sing "People Need the Lord" as the last few slides were going through. And again, it just made a tremendous impact upon us. We, had good fellowship there. And so they have been a great blessing. It's good to see them here and being faithful and just serving God. And so, if you like, I'll go ahead and show the video now. It's only about 5 minutes long, and then I'll fill in a few details, and then we'll go from there.
For 15 years, I pastored Emmanuel Baptist Church in Dexter, Missouri. And my family and I had every intention of ministering there for the rest of our lives, but God had other plans. In 2018, our family was able to take a missions trip to Western Australia. It was an amazing time. Missionary Butch Shrove and his family hosted us and showed us the country. We saw many beautiful and unique sights along the way. However, it wasn't the sights that made an impact upon my heart. It was the people. The people that were prosperous, but lacked what they needed most, the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Australians aren't mean-spirited, but most of them think they have no need for God. On more than one occasion, while doing visitation and just giving out tracts, the tract would be rejected. Their reasons were no need. Health is good, family is good, bank account is good. They have no need for God until they do. They don't recognize that they're lost without God and without hope unless someone shares these truths with them from God's Word. One of their most common phrases is, "No worries, mate." This describes their attitude towards life. They don't need God till they need Him. While preaching a youth conference for Brother Shrove on that trip, God used Acts 16:9 to call me to Australia. He said, "Come and help. Come and help those that are laboring, as well as multitudes who have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ." When my family left Australia in 2018, we left part of our hearts there. In 2019, God allowed my wife and me to go back and receive further confirmation of God's call to the land down under as church planting missionaries. This time, when we left Australia, we left our whole heart there. We're now seeking the support needed to take our bodies where our heart is. My wife and I were saved in 1994 under the ministry of Pastor Jeff Abels at Calvary Baptist Church in Valdosta, Missouri, while in the United States Air Force. God called me to preach the gospel 2 years later. I began my training under Pastor Abels and then went to Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. I thought I was going to Springfield to go to BBC, but it was really to serve under Pastor Leon Gray at Berean Baptist Church. We later served on staff under Pastor Abels in various roles until 2004. In June of that year, Emmanuel Baptist Church in Dexter, Missouri called me to be their pastor. It's been an amazing time to watch the Lord use our family to reestablish this church in the town of Dexter. While there, we were able to watch the church grow both spiritually and numerically. God gave the increase. We just sought to reestablish the importance of the preaching and teaching of God's Word. We began an organized visitation program that included the whole church, as well as introduced Faith Promise Mission. And most importantly, just became involved in the community. The church responded to each, and as a result, we were able to eventually remodel the auditorium, as well as a scripture ministry assembling John and Romans. To God be the glory and great things He has done. Now that God has called us to Australia, we're being sent out of Berean Baptist Church in Springfield, Missouri, Pastor Jeff Abels. Berean is a church with a wonderful heart for supporting and sending missionaries. It's a special church to our family. We're looking forward to representing the folks of Berean on the field of Australia. Australia is a prosperous country, but a country that lacks the preaching of the gospel. The 2016 Australian census is very telling. Nearly 30% of Australians reported that they had no religion. Reasons for their decision was that it was irrelevant to their life. They didn't accept how it was taught. It was outdated. They didn't believe the Bible. Finally, they were just too busy to attend. Christianity is still the largest religion in Australia, but the overwhelming majority claim to be Catholic or Anglican. Satan has blinded their eyes with religion and humanism. We are seeking to go there and take the light of the gospel to open those blinded eyes. Western Australia is Australia's largest state. It has a population of around 2.6 million people, but only 9 independent Baptist churches. 5 are located in and around the city of Perth, while the other 4 are scattered down the coast south of Perth. God has burdened our hearts for Bunbury, a city of around 71,000 people. There's also the possibility that we may help establish the Coalfields Baptist Church in Collie, Western Australia, a mission started by the Calvary Baptist Church and Pastor Chris Meneses in Australia. Collie is located about 30 miles east of Bunbury. It's an example of town after town in Western Australia without a gospel preaching church. Would you please commit to praying for the Mallard family, Shane, Tammy, Taylor, Molly, Emma, and Brian. Pray for us as we seek God's direction and timing to get to the field. Would you also prayerfully consider joining with our family and Berean Baptist Church financially and supporting this effort as we endeavor to reach the land down under.
Thank you very much. I always like to relay to the pastor and church that it wasn't that when we got to Australia that we recognized that there was so much more of a need there than there was in Dexter, because that was not the case. There's a need in Dexter, just like there's a need here. So it wasn't the need that God used. It was He changed our heart. He changed my heart. I still love those people in Dexter and love Emmanuel Baptist Church. We were there for 15 years. But again, God changed our heart. And one of the things that God used is, as I mentioned, they're kind of like America in the sense you don't need God until you need it, right? The kind of that prosperity aspect, if you will. We didn't travel extensively, but we traveled quite a bit on that southwestern coast, and I probably saw less than 5 churches, church in general, not just Baptist churches. I'm talking about churches in general. There's just no one that is actually trying to reach them with the gospel, and God used that to burden my heart, and so we're going to go there and seek to reach them. And as I mentioned also, that mission work there in Collie, there's a potential for us to go right to work with those folks. They've been meeting for about a year and a half. Would to God that someone would be raised up, be able to take that before we get there. But as of right now, that hasn't taken place. We were able to be there on both occasions, both in 18 and 19. And so, again, we have opportunity to get right to work with those folks, and we'll do the very same things that we've done the last 15 years. When we get there, we're gonna preach the Word of God and visit and get in the community and just try to build relationships. And one of the blessings, though, is that we will not have to learn the language. All right? There's not a long language school. Many times missionaries have to go to a language school, and I'm thankful because I don't even know how to speak English too well. And so I wasn't looking forward to that. But I will tell you this. Before we get to the scripture, I will tell you this, that while they speak English a little different than we do. And the reason I say that is because Brother Manassas, who was in the video, he's a national pastor there in Australia. And one time we were talking on the phone, and he asked about my family. He said, "How's your family doing?" I said, "Well, we're doing all right. My wife, she wasn't feeling well at the time." And I just said this. I said, "My wife's just a bit under the weather." Now, that's not a phrase that I use all the time, but I do. I mean, that's a pretty common phrase that we use. And he kind of chuckled. And I was kind of taken aback by that, because normally you don't laugh when you tell them your wife's sick. But he said, "Well, I just want you to know that phrase, under the weather, in Australia, it means slobbering drunk." And so I said, "Well, she is not under the weather, all right, as far as I know, okay? She's not under the weather. She's just not feeling good." And so while we'll not have to go to language school, I will for sure have to get a little book on slang to keep myself out of trouble, all right? And so anyway, again, we're very thankful to be here. Let's look to the Bible. Look to the book of Acts, chapter 16. I mentioned in the video that God used Acts 16:9. That's that familiar portion of Scripture where we have what's been referred to as the Macedonian call, where the man of Macedonia said, "Come and help." And I believe God speaks through His Word. And it wasn't that He spoke in an audible voice, but He impressed upon my heart. I was standing in the back of a hall getting ready to preach a youth meeting. And I was just watching. They were doing all the finishing touches. There were some windows over here on this side of me. And I was just overwhelmed. God was already working in my heart. And I really was just kind of trying to figure out what was taking place. And I was looking out these windows over here. And there was some play areas. There was a soccer field. And there were some families out there. It was a beautiful day. Those people had no idea what was taking place on the inside of this hall. And again, as clear as I'm standing here, God said, "Come and help. Come and help those that are laboring. These churches, these missionaries have been laboring. National pastor, again, Brother Manessis there in Australia. But as well, come and help those that have likely never heard a clear presentation of the gospel." And you know, that's exactly true right here. There are people in this area that have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about where someone takes the Word of God and shows them what God says regarding salvation. And so that's what we're going to be doing, going there, taking the Word of God, and trying to communicate these truths to them from the Word of God. But I want to preach a little while. Let me begin reading in verse number 9, and I'll read down through verse number 12, and we're going to go on a little bit further, but as far as our text of Scripture, we'll stop in verse number 12, have a word of prayer, and then we'll get right to it. All right, the Bible says, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed to him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day to Neapolis. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days." And verse 13, let me read this as well, and then we'll have prayer. "And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither." All right, let's have prayer and we'll get to work. Thank you, Lord, for this day and for the opportunity just to be in church once again. Thankful for Pastor Stockton and Lock Haven Baptist Church opportunity, Lord, to stay here, but also now to be able to present the burden you've laid upon our heart, and more importantly, be able to leave these truths and visit these truths from your word. I pray you'd speak to us tonight. Nothing new, but God, I pray that you would, again, afresh and anew, give us a burden, help us understand that you have a desire to use each and every one of us in the lot of life that we find ourselves. And we'll thank you and praise you and trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I mentioned, Acts chapter 16 to verse 9, that verse is what God used to call us and to lay upon my heart. Now, I didn't mention anything to my family. That was right at the first of the trip. And I tried to just blow it off as emotion. But it was just thing after thing after thing. God continued to show me and show me. And I wish I could say that I just surrendered, but I didn't. I said, you know, we're in Dexter there. Been there for 15 years. Things are going well. It's not like the church was just busting at the seams, but things were going well. I was working a full-time job, and they were very good to me as far as letting me off. Things were going well, and I've often thought that maybe that was the reason that God began to put us in a whirlwind. Maybe I was a bit too comfortable. And I just got settled on the lees, if you will, and just continued on. And God began to work in our heart. And so we were able to go back in 2019 and receive further confirmation. But notice verse 10. It says, after he'd seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia. Here it is, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel. And that's what we're doing now. God has called us, and so we're making preparation to go there. You might say, well, when are you going? Well, my time would have been yesterday, but I know that's not the case. This is a process it takes, and it's in God's timing. We're hoping and praying that sometime around June or July of 2021, that would be just shy of 2 years on deputation, which is, if you look at statistics, that's a pretty short deputation, but we're just trusting God to do that, and if not, we'll be sufficient or surrendered to His timing, no doubt about it. But the Bible says that after they had gathered, that God had called them, and then they made preparations to go there, and then they went. And what I want to point out, and it's very simple, is that when they got there, there was a people prepared for them. Matter of fact, there were three individuals that we come across in the remaining verses of this chapter. And really, it's a division of types of people. And it's types of people that you and I come in contact with as well. Types of people that we deal with on a regular basis. And what I want to show you, again, nothing new, but I want to emphasize that God will use us to reach these people. And there's a common denominator, if you will, a common theme that God uses in every person's life to bring them to the point of salvation. And so they get there, and as the custom is, of course, the Apostle Paul would normally go to the synagogue, but in this case, there wasn't a synagogue. And in study, it said that in any given town, it took at least 10 men for them to constitute, to be able to have a synagogue. And so here's the thing. It's either there wasn't 10 men, which I very seriously doubt that there wasn't 10 men in that area, but there wasn't 10 men that were interested in the things of God. And so I'm thankful that when the Apostle Paul gets there, and those that are with him, there was a group of women that were meeting. Now, they were ignorant of biblical salvation. They were worshiping God, but at least they were meeting. And I always want to emphasize how thankful we ought to be for faithful women who continue to serve God and live for God, even when they sometimes don't have a man to follow. We know that's the order of God, but we also know that we always don't follow the order of God. And so I'm thankful. What would our churches do without faithful women? And we see that right here. They go in verse number 14, and they begin to speak to these women. And so this is specifically a woman by the name of Lydia. And so what we find here is we find a lady who we can consider tender to the things of God. She was tender. She was religious, if you will. And so God begins to use Paul and his company to deal with a tender soul, tender to the things of God. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to come across people that are just like that out in our everyday life. You're going to come in contact with people I never will, and vice versa. And there are some of them that are going to be tender to the things of God. They're going to be interested in the things of God. And it's going to be up to us to begin to communicate those truths to them from the Word of God. And so the Bible says, as they began to speak, verse number 14, a certain woman named Lydia, a sower of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God. Notice this, she heard. She heard what was spoken, and you might say, well, what did Paul say? Well, I don't know exactly. We don't have it communicated here, but I can guarantee you that he took her to the cross. And they might have read some scripture, but knowing the Apostle Paul, knowing his ministry, knowing his heart, he took her to the cross. And the Bible says that she heard, and then the scripture says, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. She was saved. I believe Lydia got saved. And you say, well, how do you know that? Well, in verse number 15, we see that she gets baptized. And that's on the other side of salvation. And so we have the communication of the Word of God. We have conviction, where the Lord opened her heart to the things of God. And conviction is nothing other than God convincing us of the truth. It's like God saying, you hear a preacher say, if you're under conviction, and we might wonder, well, what's that mean? Well, it means it's God, through the Spirit of God, in our heart, convincing us that it is true. And so as he was speaking to this group, it's as if God was saying, Lydia, you know this is true. You know that Christ is a fulfillment of all of these Old Testament prophecies, all of these types and shadows. It's true, it's true, it's true. And she responded, thankfully, with a yes. And then the Bible says that she was baptized. And then no doubt there's a testimony of her. The Bible says that she opened her house up. And if we would read the latter part of the chapter, after Paul and Silas and his group, they get beat and put in jail. Then they get released after a time. They go back by and they visit Lydia's house once again. She opens her house to them once again. Now, could she have said no? Sure. She could have said no to God. I'm thankful that she said yes. God dealt with her heart, and she responded with a yes, and her life was forever changed. And so she opened her home, she opened her heart to Christ, and then opened her home to these men of God. And so here's the point. Lydia was tender to the things of God, but you know what God used? He sent a man with the truth of the gospel, and she was saved. There are Lydias out there, and they're waiting for the truth of the Word of God. It's not going to be our words. It's not going to be our salesmanship or how we word things. It's going to be the Word of God that gets through to even those that are of a tender soul, those that are religious, those that we have. And you know what? It is great, isn't it, to be dependent upon God's Word. It takes the pressure off of us. Many times we put pressure on ourselves to try to, change conversation. But just be dependent upon the Word of God and let God do the work. And that's what he'll use. There are many that know nothing of salvation through Christ, and it's our responsibility to take the message to them. Second of all, in verses 16 to 18, there's another type of soul, and there's another type of soul that we come in contact with on a regular basis as well. And we can call this young lady, a young damsel, as the scripture calls her, a tormented soul. She was under demonic influence, demonic possession, if you will. The Bible says it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her master much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her. And he came out that same hour. And so we have this young girl who is, again, demonic, demon possessed. She was bringing her masters much gain. She was, again, a fortune teller. These masters, they didn't care nothing for her. Satan didn't care nothing for her. All those masters cared for was that she was bringing them in money. And all Satan cared about her was to keep her eyes blinded to the truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what we find on a regular basis. There are those that are out here and they're under the bondage of sin. They're under the torments of sin. And this young lady, she followed these preachers around, attesting to the truth that they were preaching. And that obviously has to be a little contradicting, don't you think? And the Apostle Paul got tired of it after a while, and he looked over, and by the Word of God, by the word of God, commanded that that spirit would be relieved from her, and the Bible says that she was delivered that very hour. Now, I don't know if she got saved. I'm not going to go to blows with anyone whether or not she got saved, but I will tell you this, miracles in the Bible are for, they would authenticate a message and a messenger. And I'm going to tell you, this was a tremendous miracle that took place. And so there had been a tremendous opportunity for the preaching of the Word of God. But here's the point. Here is the point. Once again, we see he was dealing with a different type of person. With Lydia, she was tender to the things of God. But again, it took the Word of God to break through. And this tormented soul dealt with her a little bit differently, maybe a little bit more confrontational. But still, it was the Word of God that brought deliverance. Do you see a common theme here? It don't matter what kind of people we deal with, it all comes back to the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the very Word of God. You know, those tracks that we see out there in the back and wherever the racks, and then over in the fellowship hall on that table over there, those tracks, they contain the Word of God. And God can do some amazing things with His Word. Don't ever take for granted the ability to take some tracts and put them in your pocket or put them in your purse or whatever the case is and begin to pass those out, because again, it contains the Word of God. The Word of God. And so he dealt with this tormented soul with a direct confrontation with the Word of God. And then in verse 23, we have another type of individual. Now, we could preach about all of these, maybe a whole message, but I want to get you, once you get the gist of this and see that it's the Word of God that does the work. But in this individual, there's another aspect as well that God uses, and I think that is lacking sometimes in our day. In verse 23, I'm not going to read the whole part, but verse 23 all the way down through verse number 34, God deals with what I've termed a tough soul. We've had a tender soul and a tormented soul, and now we have a tough soul. And you might say, well, why do you say a tough soul? Well, it's the Philippian jailer. Now, I don't know this to be a fact, but it's said that many times, jailers would be retired Roman soldiers. And if that's the case, this would be a rough individual. And regardless of if he was a Roman soldier or not, to be a jailer, you've got to be pretty rough. You've got to be pretty tough, if you will. And so I just picture a hardened individual. And he is, they of course, I understand this as well. Oh, Satan, he stirs things up. He'd already lost this religious lady, Lydia, and whoever else in that group. He had her eyes blinded, and the Word of God opened them up, and now she's saved and got baptized, opened her home up. And then we have this other one who Satan had control of, and now we don't any longer. And so I'm going to tell you what, when Satan, he don't like to lose ground. And so when he begins to lose ground, he begins to stir things up. And the Bible says that these masters and these other rulers, they began to bring Paul and his company up and began to bring false accusations against them and beat them openly, and then throw them into jail, put them in what is called the inner prison, and put their feet fast in stocks. And so basically, after they were beaten across the back, they were put in a dungeon, in a likely a dirty old nasty floor, dirt floor, infested with no telling what. Their back's bloody, and now they're laying down. The Bible says their feet is put up in stocks. And I'm going to tell you, I figure, I don't know this to be true again, but I figure that jailer was just a bit rough with it. I don't figure he just gently laid them down. No, I figure he was pretty rough with them and put them down there and put their feet in there and put them things on there tight. And so what I'm saying is there's a tremendous opportunity for a lot of belly aching. I don't know if you use that term in Florida or not, but a lot of complaining, a lot of griping and whining and things like this. Well, God, here we've been doing all this stuff for you. We went and met with these ladies out there and Lydia got saved. And then we've seen this young girl delivered from the bondage of sin and the bondage of the old devil. But we don't read that. We don't read them complaining and whining. What we read is in that setting, the Bible says that Paul and Silas sang. And they praised the Lord during that time. Again, an opportunity for just the opposite. And we read of them praising God. And I'm going to tell you, I firmly believe. Now, we'll get to the Word of God because that's what ultimately breaks through. And I'm going to tell you, I believe that God used that, their response to that situation, to begin to break through this tough soul. This tough, hardened sinner. He came to the place where he asked the greatest question known to mankind. And there's about four things or so, and I'll do it very quickly, that brought him to that point. Again, the first, we've already mentioned that Paul and Silas, instead of complaining, they prayed and they sang praises. And maybe as they were praying, the Sermon on the Mount came to mind. And there's no doubt the apostles had told them of that great sermon where Jesus related to them that they would likely suffer and that they would suffer for His name's sake. And their hearts were so filled with gratitude and thanksgiving that they began to sing. I'm going to tell you, I don't know that there'd ever been singing in the jailhouse, but there was singing in the jailhouse that night. And it's likely he had never heard anything like that at all. While these men were bleeding down there, while they were no doubt uncomfortable. And I'm going to tell you, I believe the old jailer listened as they sang. And I don't know what they sang, but I dare say it was something about the blood. I don't know if nothing but the blood was written at that time, but they were likely singing about the blood. They weren't singing some kind of just a little empty song that had no meaning. Thankful for the hymn books that still have good meaning and good truth and doctrine to them. Something that we can hold to in times of trouble and times of heartache. And God can use it to lift our hearts up. So again, I don't know what they were singing, but I believe it was something about the blood. And you say, well, how do you know that? Well, that Philippian jailer, in a little while, after some things take place, he runs in and he says this, "What, sirs, what must I do to be saved?" How did he hear that? I believe they were singing about it. They likely sang Victory in Jesus, all of those songs that we love and sing, and rightly so. He comes in and asks that very question. But Paul and Silas prayed and sang, and the power of God was displayed. The Bible says that an earthquake took place, and it shook so hard that it opened up all the doors, and they were loosed. And the Bible says that this man, that he experienced, he had what we could call a near-death experience. It was said that a jailer, if they would lose a prisoner, if a prisoner under their watch escaped, they would have to assume their sentence. And so in this instance, all of the prisoners, if they would have left, this jailer would have had to assume all of their sentences. And so he basically said, forget this. And he gets a sword and he's just about to kill himself. And here is where we see another thing. I believe that God, he just further used this act of compassion. The Bible says that Paul hollered out and said, listen, do yourself no harm. We're all here. And that's when we read of that jailer running in and saying, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Likely for the very first time in his life, he experienced compassion. He experienced someone that actually cared for him. And you know, there are people outside these walls that need that are unloving, that are mean and nasty and all of the above. And if we're not careful, we can become unloving and uncompassionate. But listen, we need to understand and see people as God sees them, as they are people that need the Lord. There are people that need to come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. People do not care how much we know until they know how much we care. And this hardened jailer, hey, he listened to them sing when they should have been screaming and cursing at him. And then he experienced compassion when Paul said, listen, do yourself no harm. We are all still right here. Right here. And he probably began to question as to why these Jews cared about him. Why in the world? All after what I've done to them? Why are they still in their cells? Why didn't they run? What is taking place? And all of this, God used it to pierce his heart until he asked that question, what must I do to be saved? What must I do? And of course, he still had his theology mixed up there a little bit. He didn't have to do anything. But the Bible says, what happens then? The Bible says that the Apostle Paul and his group, they took the Word of God. He asked a direct question, and they gave him a direct answer. They preached the gospel to this man. The Bible says he believed. And there was a change that took place in this man. And the reason we can see that as well is he went from inflicting wounds to washing their wounds. A change took place in this hardened sinner, and it came as a result, no doubt the Word of God, but also an act of compassion. Of care and concern for him, for his soul. This tough soul was brought to a tender soul through the power of the Word of God. And then these are all types of people that you and I come in contact with on a regular basis. There are those out there that are tender. They're ready. We just have to communicate the Word of God to them. We just have to take opportunity. I'm not talking about being preachy and being arrogant and looking for a fight. No. That's not what we never win any kind of an argument. We never win a fight, a debate, if you will. I don't know how many times you go out and knock on doors and there will be those that just want to argue. Listen, I'm not in it to argue. I mean, we got the truth. I'm not saying that in a prideful way. I say it in a proud way. I'm glad I got the truth. I'm glad that God saw fit to cross my path. He just when I got saved in 1994, I had a religious type background, upbringing, but I knew you should be in church, but I wasn't saved. And I joined the Air Force, got married and joined the Air Force, and it was stationed at Whiteman Air Force Base in Ogdensburg, Missouri. And we moved into a trailer park just across the road from Calvary Baptist Church, and here was my thinking. It was a Baptist church, but it said independent fundamental on it, which I really didn't know anything about. But still, I thought, it's close. I don't have to spend much gas money. I can go there quick. I love sports, and so I thought, well, you know what? I can walk over there and get my church done and walk back home and be in time for the kickoff to watch a football game. You said, oh, that's terrible. Well, again, that was my thinking. And I went there with that in mind. But from the very first time I was set in that service, I knew I was lost. I knew I did not have, and I'm so thankful, that the preacher that stood behind that pulpit, he preached, thus saith the Lord. It wasn't, it was this. And that's what God used in my life. He preached the Word of God and then challenged us to read it and see whether these things were so. And I wish I could say that I ran down the aisle and got saved that very, very first service, but I didn't. The old devil, again, don't like to give up ground. He had my eyes blinded. I'd made a profession when I was about 7 or 8. He had my eyes blind, and I held on to that pew, and I'd get out that back door as soon as he ate the last amen. And my wife would stay there and talk and talk and talk and talk, and I would think, woman, get out of here, because I'm ready to go. And sometimes I'd just walk on home. But I'm thankful that church didn't give up on me. They didn't go overboard, but they cared for me. There were some men in that church. They noticed that after the invitation, I'd hit the door. So they just happened to be back there. And now, they didn't block me in. You know, they didn't stand there like this, but they just kind of happened to be in my way, shake my hand, and begin to show interest in me and to care and concern for me. And then Brother Sam Barbies and his wife, they came over and set up an appointment, said, we'd like to come visit you. And he came over there, to make a long story short, he asked me about my salvation. He said, if you die today, whether you'd go to heaven or not. And I said, I have no idea. I was confused. I had little religion, but I had no Bible salvation. And he said this, and I'll never forget it. He said, would you like to know? And I said, man, I sure would. And we went back in our little bedroom back there in our mobile home. And I'm thankful for this as well, is that when we sat down back there in that bedroom, he took the Word of God. He didn't just say, of course, he knew the gospel frontwards, backwards, and upwards, and downwards. He knew it. And he could have just said that, but he opened the Word of God and let me look at it and said, listen, this is what the Bible says regarding sin. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. He began to talk about the wages of sin is death, and let me read it. And that's very important. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Our salvation needs to be based not on our emotion, not on how we feel, but on what says God. Because some days I just don't feel good, right? Some days I just don't feel saved, I guess you could say. But I am, because it's based upon the authority and the power of the Word of God. The power of God's Word. And so, God dealt with this tender soul, this tormented soul, and this tough soul, all with the Word of God. So I'm going to encourage you tonight, church, be dependent upon the Word of God in our witnessing efforts. And obviously prayer, no doubt about it. Couple prayer and the Word of God, and then our effort. Okay, we got to put a little effort into it. We got to be willing to speak a word when given opportunity. As the pastor said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Sometimes we just need to say so. Three testimonies, three types of souls. And so understand, God wants to use you. He wants to use me in the lives of people around us. And again, just start taking notice. These type of people are all around you. But it all comes back to God is going to use you and me as well as we depend upon the very Word of God and then allow the Spirit of God to do His work in their heart. Again, if someone makes a profession because I have pressured them, it's for naught. It's for naught. It's worthless. Matter of fact, they'd be considered maybe a twofold child of the devil if they make some kind of profession because they're forced into it. But when the Word of God is used and the Spirit of God begins to work in the heart, listen, that's what we're looking for. And that's what God can use to change anybody. Did you say anybody? I said anybody. As long as we're drawing breath, there's an opportunity for people to be saved. Now, I understand God deals with individuals, and sometimes God says enough. Now, you might say, well, when does He do that? Well, I can't give you that answer. I just tell you, that's a dangerous place to be. We say no to God long enough, and finally He'll say, okay, you want to go to hell? Go to hell. Not because He wants you to, but because we'll not yield to that leading. And also in the lives of you and I as believers, He wants to use us. He wants us to seek to be an influence in those lives around us. And we begin to balk at that and go, no. Eventually He'll just say, don't lose your salvation, but He'll just put us on a shelf and use somebody else. Because He's going to get the time done. But He wants to use every one of us. And I'm thankful for this church and thankful for your missions emphasis as well. Not just the missionaries, but also right here. The visitation efforts yesterday that went out. And then just the various ministries that take place, all to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Word of God is what's going to get the job accomplished. Amen. Let's have prayer together, preacher. Father, thank You so much for Your goodness. Blessing opportunity to be together in Your house once again tonight. Thankful again for Pastor Stockton and his family and church. I pray Your blessing upon them. Pray You continue to use them in this area to reach this area with the gospel. And we'll thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand to our feet.
As you're standing, think about this. Maybe it was moved for Australia. Wow, those people need the Lord. Wouldn't it be a shame tonight for you to be moved that way and be sitting right here lost? Move for people on the other side of the globe, and we should be, but if you're sitting here tonight without Christ, tonight you can know that Jesus saves. He will save your soul. Maybe tonight the Lord talked to you and said, hey, maybe you need to be used. Maybe you need to surrender. Maybe you need to yield your life to the work of the Lord. Here in this community, or maybe around the globe somewhere. God's touching your heart tonight. Why don't you yield to Him? What page book, Jim?
153.
153, church.